What's up, you juicy motherfuckers? I mean, you know, how are your juice levels these days? How you doing? You jiggly enough? I think you know where I'm going with this. Jiggle Juice, folks. Jiggle Juice is my fruit puree line that I've launched. I'm super excited. I'm really, really stoked to be working with a lot of local breweries and just providing a more affordable solution for some kick-ass fruit additions to your beer. That's right. Got exotic shit from Coruba to Lulo to the things you know and love like mango, guava, peach. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Check us out. That's jigglejuicefruitpurees.com. Again, that's jigglejuicefruitpuree.com. And click on the menu. Then go ahead and click on Fruit on Deck, and it'll show you the kind of stuff we carry. Another new addition, we have banana. Everybody likes nanners. It's really delicious. We actually recently just did a beer with one, and I can't get enough of it. Don't think it's just for beers either. I've been working with meaderies, cider spots. It's for everybody, I promise. And I stand behind it. We personally use it ourselves in the industry. I would not stand behind it if we didn't. So with that said, jigglejuicefruitpuree.com or simply email me, jigglejuice@wartwrangler.com. That's jigglejuice@wartwrangler.com. Don't forget, no minimums on shipping and free local pickup. So if you're in California or just simply feel like cruising by, we are totally free for pickup. So check us out. Jigglejuicefruitpuree.com. That's jigglejuicefruitpuree.com. All right. Happy podcast.
The mash pit, the mash pit, the mash. 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 The mash pit, it's the mash pit.
Hey there. Hey, fuckers.
Hi. Not talking to me.
Everybody. That's okay. You're so interruptive. Shut up. I'm just kidding. No, folks. I don't talk to her like that. I'm super excited to finally bring back. We had this crazy journey trying to get this podcast set up. And long story short, it was a long, crazy day. I felt like the cops were stalking me. It was a whole thing. We recorded an episode and for some reason completely glitched out and took a big shit. And so we're back. Everything's good. Folks, I am super stoked to introduce to you Dana from Boneyard Brewing. Boneyard Beer Co. I always get brewing and beer co mixed up. Also, though, more importantly, that you might know her, the OG, triple OG starter of Grist and Glory. I know it's a few people that run it, but she is a lot of the mastermind behind Grist and Glory. So if you're obviously follower of the funny beer memes and such, that's a good addition to put on. Welcome, Dana.
Hi, thank you.
Back again. Yeah. It was wild, right? Last time we were both kind of
to get it going. I didn't know how to use any of the technology, or I couldn't get my email to open right after work. You were running to get to the studio, and then 45 minutes in, it just disappeared.
Yeah. Yep. It was a motherfucker of a day. I was having some beers with a buddy. I only had two, and then I had a half of another one just to enjoy the breeze. And all of a sudden, I go outside to go to my car, and there was a cop right behind my car, and that scared the shit out of me because I didn't know if that half a beer would just take me just over the top of where I'm supposed to be. So I just really got tripped out. And I walked back in the brewery, sat around, drank water, and ate food, and then went back to my car. And then he was still there. So then I walked back in the brewery and drank more water and just sat around. I was just too sketched out. I didn't want to risk it.
So So you didn't get in your car, see him, and then get out. You just didn't even approach your car.
No, I just like walked like, oh, look at me, just stretching my legs out, not going to that car, that's for sure, officer, not going there. I do not want to, nobody wants to risk a DUI, right? No, it's not worth it. Even though I wasn't drunk, buzzed, nothing, I just didn't want to risk it. Not worth it. I paying $6 for a slider hamburger was much more of a value than paying thousands. So, I never, ever, ever drink and drive. I'm always like in North Park. That's my neighborhood in San Diego. And I'm always just walking everywhere or Ubering. For the most part, though, I like to get trashed and walk around. I don't like to ever get behind the wheel of a car. Neither should you. I'm just babbling on there for a second. But yeah, no, that was an annoying day. We got through it, though. What's up?
What brewery were you at?
I was at Modern Times. It's it's fun. I mean, I love everybody there. Good people. I'm not gonna lie though. I was I'm just not a vegan burger guy. It was good for what it was, but I felt like I was burping up vitamin flavor for the rest of the night. So shout out to the vegans. I mean, I tried. But it was good though. It was good. But don't get me wrong though. Everything, the beer is fire. It's amazing. As well as the coffee. Coffee always kicks ass there. They do their own thing with coffee and it's amazing. But yeah, I think also since everything got erased, we're just starting from scratch again. What's the big news? You want to give it one more time, Dana?
Yeah, sure. People, at least in the Northwest, have heard that Boone, we were doing a partnership with Deschutes. So a lot of people are kind of transitioning over to Deschutes, but myself and my husband and our friend and coworker, John Van Duzer, are starting a brewery instead of going along. So that is really thrilling. So we're just kind of in the initial stages of getting the brewery going, but it'll be at the old
Bonaire
facility.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's cool. So that's kind of still a big spot though, right? You said it was around like 30,000 barrels have been produced there.
Yeah, it's a 60 barrel brew house, and I think the capacity can handle like 30,000 barrels a year. So, you know, not an ideal startup size brewery. So we're gonna have to, do some other stuff to keep those doors open, like private contract brew or, you know, maybe alternating proprietorship or something like that. So at least until we can get to some level. I mean, we don't have to make 30,000 to stay open, but yeah, make a lot more than anyone starting a brewery would be able to make, I think. So we'll do something.
Still in the works. I got faith in you folks. I know you guys do good stuff, great beer, and like, I mean, you know, you got quite the reputation out there.
Yeah, John and Mark especially, like, they're actually ex-Deschutes from the 90s and early 2000s. The three of us have like 67 years of brewing experience, and they make up most of that. I have total faith that we're gonna make high quality beer. It's just how are we gonna sell it?
Yeah,
get out there and start, you know, knocking on doors.
I'm really, really stoked though for you. I think that's gonna be like I was saying before, it's like, it's really cool seeing you're doing the dream. That's like, you know, or start off washing kegs, work your way up, get to assistant brewer, become a brewer, become head brewer, and like, yeah, like, you know, there's just so many different journeys, and but the ultimate goal, I think, in all those spots is always to be an owner. And that's really cool.
Yeah, I've been kind of joking about it my whole life, as I think all brewers joke, like, I'm going to open a brewery one day. And I talked about it pretty seriously with my husband, like, since we met, and then finally it's happening. Like, it's kind of like our hands being forced or whatever. Like, the situation isn't as organic as we like, but I feel like that kind of stuff has to happen in order, you know, to take these risky leaps. You know, it's not I just wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm going to put it all in the morning today, you know, so I'm glad this happened.
Yeah, and then, like, it's pretty wild, right, doing, you know, well, obviously your background, going there, then the buyout, and then starting, like, you know, your, you know, starting your own thing, but in the midst of all this is, like, beer memes, right?
Yeah, and it's hard to say, well, I mean, I'm sure you know this, memeing is, takes a lot of time. It takes like time out of your day. It's not like you just, you know, they just appear in front of you. So it is kind of funny, like having a side hobby.
Yeah. It's a trip, right? It's because it's a matter of, it could just hit you right then and there. I'm at that point where I actually have my own like note section in my phone for memes. So obviously I can't stop what I'm doing and get to like photoshopping something or something like that. So I just write it down. Okay, do this, look for this clip and blah, blah, blah. Like it'll just hit me out of nowhere. Obviously memeing too, I think it's like, you know, well, with stand-up comedy is like, as a comic, like I always, every situation I'm in, it's a good and bad trait. I think I always just immediately try to look for the funny thing, but it's fucked up because I'll be at like weddings or funerals and I just immediately look of like, what can I make jokes about? It's a horrible, it can be horrible. It can be good too, but that's same thing with memes though, I noticed, especially too, when you're doing such niche memes about doing, you know, like, you know, obviously brewing stuff, and so you look at things a lot differently than your typical, I guess, you know, beer industry employee would look at something.
Yeah, 100%. Also, like, my phone is just, it's like a picture of my dog and like four memes and like a picture of some food I ate, like five random images from the internet and like memes, and it's really cluttered my photo space.
Yeah, memes gobble the shit out of your phone. It's, I need to really just sit down and give myself, I'm not even joking, like an hour, maybe like hour and a half of just pure going through my photos and deleting everything, because I'm more than sure that I've taken up way too much storage than I need, because there's, you know, you like download multiple photos and stuff like that, especially me, I don't like to take photos of like what I'm in front of, you know what I mean? I like going on Google and just kind of letting the Google gods choose who's going to be on. And plus it's more fun that way too, of like, versus I just always use the same area. And then for whatever I'm thinking of, it's kind of a pain in the ass, but like I'll Google the shit out of I don't know, trying to find a hot liquor tank. That's, you know, just something else. And it's cool just because people eventually will be like, hey, that's mine. So
yeah, I spent so much time looking for a centrifuge the other day. There's so many in breweries, I thought that would happen. You know, one of the silliest times, I took like what was a stock photo of a dude on a forklift and like made this meme about him saying, "You're a chariot, m'lady," because I'm sure all ladies in production have heard that. I've heard like every brewery I work at, somebody says that to me. And this gal DM'd me and was like, hey, that's this dude who works at my brewery. And like, he's not on social media and all this stuff. And then he's not active on it. So I ended up following him and apologizing and saying, like, I had no idea. It was like a person who worked in a brewery for real. Like, it just seemed like a stock photo.
Were they cool with it, or were they made you take it down?
He was super cool with it. I think it was just at first, I think the lady who contacted me was kind of startled and didn't know if I was making fun of him. And I was like, I don't know who this guy is. Like, it was just a joke.
Oh, that's hilarious. Luckily, I haven't had a bad one yet. Hey there. It's me again, doing the little ad thingy that I do. You know, it's that time again. I just got to be transparent with you folks. BSG, this podcast is proudly brought to you by BSG, Brewer Supply Group. Always having our backs, always there. There's so many good things I could say, from all the fun stuff they do behind the scenes that people don't know about, to simply helping me put on comedy events for the beer industry. Brewer Supply Group, folks, they've been there from the very get-go. Of course, stay loyal to the role, #loyal to the role. And personally, I think it's important to follow them at BSG Craft on Instagram. That's right, at BSG Craft. Reason why is because there's all kinds of fun giveaways, and we all know you like free shit, you cheapskate. Another big reason to follow them on Instagram is because there's a lot of really cool information on how to get linked up with their webinars and other educational resources that they offer. Everything from Making Better Seltzer, that's another webinar that's coming up soon, to some really cool informative Instagram live sessions they have planned. So follow at BSG Craft on Instagram or check them out, bsgcraftbrewing.com. I'm sure you already know that, but just wanted to, you know, put that little seed there, that letting you know that they are really, really awesome backers of the beer industry and have really helped out in a lot more ways than you know. They don't tell me to say this stuff. I just choose to say it because I love this company. So without further ado, back to the podcast. Don't forget, hashtag loyal to the role. Follow at BSG Craft. Check them out, bsgcraftbrewing.com. All right, back to the podcast. I think we're talking about how much we hated school. I think, yeah, that's probably what's going on. Anyways, all right, back to the podcast. Enjoy.
In school, I mean, I was a fuck off in school. I hated school and I barely passed it. And
I think that might be like everyone's deal that's in this industry.
Yeah, we just,
because that's my deal too. Like,
did you like? Yeah, barely, like just barely passed it.
Yeah, I was a horrible student. I never enjoyed school, and I also don't consider myself very intelligent, so it was just kind of like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? Like, I don't feel like I'm, you know, whatever. And then I got into brewing and I was like, oh, this is perfect. I don't have to use my brain that much.
Yeah, just you know, for like safety stuff, I guess you gotta give yourself that credit. I feel like I actually partially, beer helped me graduate school. Not that I was a raging alcoholic, but that was one of my final reports. I actually, for some reason, I geeked out on beer since before I was legally allowed to drink. There was just something so fascinating about the dark. I think because I really liked root beer as a kid, and like, I was obsessed when I saw, you know, being Mexican growing up, you just see nothing but lagers everywhere, like, you know, Bud Light and Modelo, all that stuff. But then, like seeing Newcastle was like intriguing to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, does that taste like root beer? And like, I remember kind of like learning it, and then watching people that would like do beer reviews online and like on YouTube and stuff, and I was like, wow, like they're saying nutty, chocolatey, like I want to try that, like. But I remember doing like some kind of like essay on like the history of just British pub culture and stuff, but I just ended up talking a lot about beer. And then the that was also me pandering though to my teacher, because he was British, so but he ended up enjoying it. Yeah, cool guy though. He was cool with it. He had fun with it. But yeah, then like, you know, it was like a weird off and on thing until eventually, I don't know, I can't really remember like my first like, oh my god, I'm gonna like, you know, I want to do beer for the rest of my life kind of deal. I there was different moments, like first time trying Anchor Steam, that was definitely one of those moments. I feel like there's just so many. First time trying, you know, Dogfish Head was one of my moments too, of like, yep, I want to do something with beer. Like it was wild. I don't know. I feel like, because do you ever get like, yeah. The second I got a decent credit card, that's what I blew the whole balance on, was a homebrew set.
Like, look at you. That's awesome.
That's the first thing I did. I never paid back that credit card balance either. I just, you know, I let it accumulate and just sit there. And then until a few years later, they're like, can you give us like $100 or $200? I was like, I guess. Oh, yeah. That was my dirtbag younger self. But I mean, I don't know, like, right, doesn't that throw you off when people ask you about your beer, like oh, what made you get into craft beer? Doesn't it feel like that, or is that just me, of like, you just feel like it was a bunch of different moments that kind of kept leading you to it? Or
I kind of had a very specific moment, like, because I was just into beer, like craft brewing home brewing, and you know, drinking Fat Tires and stuff. And then I was working at the Beer Stein, and I met this dude, Steve Van Rosen, that works, I think he works at Block 15 now, or it's his spot or something.
Yeah.
But he was just, you know, he's like, oh, I'm a brewer. Like, I think he's like McMiniman's then or something. And I was like, well, how do you get into brewing? And he was like, oh, you know, you just apply. He's just like, go get a job in a cellar. And I was like, really? And like, I can do this professionally. Like, I'd never met a brewer. And then that conversation, after that conversation, I was like really molded over. And then I went over to Oakshire and applied to the cellar, and I worked in the tasting room and then the cellar. But yeah, I was like, oh, like light bulb. I didn't know I could do this professionally. I thought I could only do it for fun.
Yeah, I think buying my first homebrew set was a big like, okay, like I love this. This is really cool. And then that's what caused me to start like bugging. I just remember just bugging local breweries. And at the time, like especially in like where I was from, you know what I mean? Like back in those days, how most breweries were ran by friends and family. They were never like, there was not actual mini brewery employees yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's...
I also feel like it was harder to get a job at a brewery back then than it is now. I don't know what new people's experiences are, but it's kind of how I see it.
100%. I think there's more opportunities now. Like maybe you're not going to get, you know, one in your backyard, but you might get one in the nearest main big city by you or something, you know, like it's definitely a lot easier. Cause like, yeah, my first brewery, I just begged to be a brewer. And, I mean, obviously that and every, you know, every young brewer or young aspiring brewer always watched that, Discovery Channel, Sam Calagione show from Dogfish Head, how, you know, it documented like Dogfish Head and stuff.
I think so.
Yeah, it was a popular one. It was called like Master Brewers or something like that. But that I know that was like a big thing of influencing people, and it was like pretty cringy because like I remember like the first brewery I worked at, that owner would quote that show a lot, but talk as if he was saying those ideas.
Yeah,
they were his like. I remember specifically this guy was just a complete nutcase, going through middle age crisis, like a middle aged what's the term?
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, midlife crisis. There we go. He was going through that, and we went to one beer festival, and they were raffling off a Harley, and then like he went for the raffle, he didn't win. But then the next week he fucking bought a Harley and then, yeah, it was just all, but I remember specifically that show, there was a part where there was a brewer that said like, oh, there's nothing more American than getting on my Harley and riding to the brewery to go brew beer. And like, he would say that over and over again to all these strangers that walked in the brewery. And I'm like, oh gosh, man, just stop.
Oh yeah.
Like,
when craft brewers thought they were rock stars.
Yeah. I mean, you still have some of those people now, but I think it's kind of like, I mean, that's the job of you and I, right? We're supposed to just completely break that down. Like, no.
Exactly. So we went to Japan for the, you know, the Hood to Fuji collab thing. It's between like kind of Mount Hood area or like Portland area breweries and Japanese breweries around Mount Hood or Mount Fuji. Anyway, their craft beer culture is like American craft beer culture 10 years ago. Like we were signing autographs. Like they treat you like you're like the shit or whatever, you know, it's super weird.
That's like, cool. That's fucking cool though. I really,
it was so fun. Enthusiasm. Like we had a blast.
Yeah. No, there's something about Japanese culture. They're much more appreciative than Americans.
Yeah, like we would go to like a tap takeover and there'd be tons of people there and we'd take pictures with all of them and drink with them and, you know, they'd want all the swag and it was super great. There was no pretension or anything. It was just like a party.
Yeah, now that's really cool to hear. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are really cool, you know, people in the States that appreciate work and appreciate craft and what goes into it. And they do. So then that leads to them admiring your work and, you know, almost somewhat admiring you like that. That still happens, just nowhere near as much as what you were saying like that. Like in like Japanese culture, just much more like I think they do see it like that. They see the craft more. They see like the hard work. And to them, they envy that kind of stuff. And versus here, it's like, you know, trying to talk to like some random Californian, like, oh, that's cool, man. You make beer. That's cool. Like, it's not really, yeah, it doesn't get as exciting sometimes. And it's a shame. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. Then again, I'm super, you know, pro don't take yourself so serious though. So, but it is cool being being recognized here and there.
Yeah, for sure. Best of both worlds. We just gotta keep humbling people.
Yeah, 100%. I think I really think that's like, you know, that's our job, right? Your job, my job. Like, I think that's a big thing of what we do. Just humble it, dumb it down, remember or remind everybody that like this is not that serious. Like, calm down.
Well, yeah, and that everyone fucks up. Like, it's not like we're all going to work and doing an immaculate job every day. Like, we're gonna leave the cold liquor fill on or the hot liquor tank fill on, and we're gonna do stupid shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, we're gonna
drive the forklift in the pool.
Yeah, like, or crash the grain out bin into the cold liquor tank pipe, and it you know, floods the brewery. That wasn't me. I'll admit when it was me, but that was somebody else. And I remember that person, yeah, they crashed a grain bin into a pipe at a brewery I worked at, and like that pipe like led to the cold liquor tank. It ripped it open and it flooded the brewery. And they replaced it, but like they called that pipe, they named it after that person after that whole incident. Yeah. So it was like, yeah, it was hilarious. Dude, they just like, they had to be reminded every single day of his fuck up.
This one guy at Nkasi, he turned the rakes on to the louder tone when there was a stainless steel ladder still in the down the manway, and you know, fucked everything up, and they hung that ladder above the brew deck. Like this mangled ladder.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's so cool to hear like the fuck ups and how they're like, especially when you're around good people, good brewers, like just in general, just good people. It's really cool, like being around those that embrace the fuck ups. Naming that whole thing, naming a pipe after the one you just busted because it was like you made a dumb mistake. I was talking about it with I guess I'll leave them unnamed, but they're from a really popular brewery, and it was really refreshing to hear that they fucked up just as bad, if not worse, and they're like, yeah, I just fucking know never to do that ever again.
Yeah. We did cone to cone yeast pitching at Oakshire, and I put us, we were pitching yeast from a stout tank to the IPA I was brewing that day. And I don't know, I guess I just didn't see what was going on. Like there was yeast on, like, visible on top, but on the below, all this like stout was going through, and it turned that IPA red, and like, you know, it was like not an IPA anymore in any way. So they just rebranded it as a red ale. And put my name on it. They made it Robles. my name used to be Robles, so it was like Robles Roja or something.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, and I had never made a beer before, so I was pumped. Like, I'd never made my own beer before. I mean, my own recipe.
Yeah. No, that's exciting. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Like I love it though. I love how you can just tell, you know, like the more down to earth people in this industry, like they'll admit their fuck ups, and like we openly talk about it. And yeah, especially too, like I'm horrible at retaining information. So I'm somebody who asks a lot of questions. Even if I've already asked you twice, I might ask you one more time, you know, just like, cause it's a mix of like, just the way my brain works to, I also don't trust myself. So like,
yeah,
I'll ask myself and I'll ask people over and over and over again. Cause I feel like when I don't, that one time where I think I'm okay, that's when something completely goes wrong. And I'm just like, it's just scary.
Yeah. I love saying, I don't know, to like new guys or, you know, someone who's asking me something that I don't know the answer to. I feel like I've witnessed people just start saying stuff and like, I don't think they know the answer for sure. And this kid's looking for the right answer. And I like just being like, you know what? I don't know that. Like, let's go ask someone who does, you know, like, I'm not going to sit here and just talk out of my ass and confuse you because I think I should know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, it's cool. Like, you know, I'm sure you probably get like some DMs and stuff about that too. Like, some people will just like want a second opinion and ask about doing certain things. And like, what was the last one I got? I got one, like, I think it was about dosing beer with tea. And it's like, I'm no expert, but this is what I've done. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
it's cool to like to talk about it like that openly. Like, you know, I can't guarantee you like this is going to be the best way, but this is what worked for me. Maybe it's not gonna work for you, but it worked for me. It's really cool. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's like we like have been we're just in a really interesting perspective, and we love expressing it, I guess, on our pages. So,
yeah, I always think I'm going to run out of something to say, and then something pops up in my head, and I'm like, oh, well, post that one. Like, yeah. When is this river going to run dry or whatever?
Yeah, no, I never ever want to think like that. Well, especially to writing stand-up comedy, they completely like non-beer related. It almost throws me off sometimes because like I just like, you know, it's weird getting into it. I have to like snap my brain into a different mode, and then I like try to like write. Or I'm a very like spontaneous writer too with comedy. I'm not the kind of person that could sit down and go, okay, it is writing hour, time to write. No, I can't do that. I just, bits just form in my head. Or what's usually a weird habit of mine too is whenever I'm really sad or really angry, like really, I'm like, okay, like this is okay. Look for something. There's something here. And like, or really embarrassed, obviously that's a classic, yeah. But, yeah, like that's kind of that, you know, the shower is always magical too. For some reason, ideas always hit you in the shower. I don't know why, but they do.
Do you ever just wake up in the middle of the night and think of something and then you have to write it down, or think, I will remember this, and then you just do not?
Yeah, I learned that the hard way, especially joke writing, like for, you know, actually getting on stage. I've done that. I'm like, I'll get to it later, and completely forget about it. There's probably a couple of solid jokes I've completely lost just because I just forgot about it and never wrote it down. So that was my lesson learned. Like I write
floating out there down. For you in the ether. You'll find them one day.
Hopefully. Yeah, I always have to write everything down. I can't not do that anymore. Like even with meme ideas, like I have to do it. I have to like immediately either make it or write it down. You know, it's funny too. I'm sure this happens to you. It's just funny because like we're in a really weird spot of like we make memes in the beer industry, so I don't get to talk to many people about this.
Right.
But isn't it weird, like, do you ever find yourself spending so much time and so much thought and wording into something, and it doesn't do that great? And then you have those ones of like, you just spit it out and like, it ends up doing like way better.
Yes. That happens all the time. It's like everyone that does really well, I was kind of like, whatever about, and I kind of think it's because the ones I spend so much time on are too personal or something. Like they're hitting home with me, but like not everyone else, you know,
it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Same here. It's like it's like 50-50. Like with the ones I do spend time on, sometimes it is worth it. It is worth the time, and it works out because it's like working out jokes on stage. Sometimes, yeah, the ones you just spitball and like you just kind of like off your head make a remark and it ends up being like one of the funniest parts of your set. That's amazing. It happens. But at the same time, there's like you kind of tweak things out and then it becomes something like super, super funny. And I try to think of like memes can go that way too, but what's hard about memes is like with jokes, you get different crowds, you get different, you know, times to try it out. There's so many comics too, not everybody remembers your stuff, so you can try it out and change it up and, you know, work at the joke versus memes. Once it's out there, you can't like, you know, redo it.
Yeah, I definitely like posted something and then realized I should have phrased it differently, and that would have made like a world of difference.
Yeah,
or like chosen, you know, a different, like same idea, but a different image, you know, kind of thing where I'm like, right after I post it, I'm like, oh shit. Like that almost doesn't make sense. Goddamn.
Yo, it's that time again. You know, it had to come. I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Thought I could do what I want. And what I want to do right now
is tell everybody about how affordable quality control analysis can be for brewers everywhere. That's right. OregonBrewLab.com. I'll say it again. OregonBrewLab.com. Just helping you out everywhere from your beer, your cider, your kombucha, your seltzer. Just making sure that you got your shit down. All testing is just super affordable. Right now, Oregon Brew Lab is actually offering $30 off flavor testing. I got to say, that's a bargain. That's kind of a steal. You are stealing, and you should feel really bad about it. No, you don't feel bad about it, because you should support this amazing company that truly wants to help you grow and develop as a brewery. They're there to help you. I promise. They have nothing but the best intentions. How do I know this? Because I use them myself. My friends use them. Like I said, great people, affordable prices. You just can't go wrong. So for all of your quality control analysis needs, check it out. That's OregonBrewLab.com. That's, once again, OregonBrewLab.com.
I wish there was like a TikTok, like whatever feed theme or whatever was like brewing hacks or like tricks. Like I love it when I'm like working with someone and then they like show me how to do something I've always done differently, and they do it like in a way that's way easier. They're like, oh, like I just fucking flip that valve and then do this and it's done. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, why the hell have I been doing it this way this whole time? Like,
yeah. Like there's, I wonder if like people at the same time, I feel like there's a lot of people that would love to, but they're scared because they know how judgmental the beer industry can get. Cause you know how it's always like every opinion, everybody's so opinionated, and they're just like,
yes,
you know, well, that's one way to do it. That's right. One way to waste a bunch of caustic.
Yeah. Dude, if I know what people are going to say now. If I post anything with the word break room or lunch break, you get the people immediately like, what's that? And it's like, your manager sucks, dude. You should be able to take a lunch.
Yeah. You like, I almost feel just like everybody's SOP is subjective. It's just, it's totally not. And to be honest here, I don't know what the complete, like, what is the perfect, absolute perfect fucking way to CIP a tank. You know, there's all these people like, oh, it just needs this much of a cycle. This much of a cycle minimum. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many different people, and like, oh no, you got to use this chemical guy. Oh, I don't like the, like, everybody. There's no perfect way of doing something.
It's the funniest is when you get somebody that comes from a brewery that's more hardcore than yours in terms of their practices, and you have to like stop, like, you know, stop them, but like, you know, they're like, well, I always use latex gloves when I put the Manway back on. I'm like, oh, I just fucking grab it and put it on. And, you know, and they're like, oh, that sounds fucked up. You know, and like, you're kind of like, that's not how we do it here or whatever. Like, you can do whatever you want. And they're just like, oh shit. Like, usually I, you know, soak all the gaskets and paraseed it for at least a half hour, you know, some shit like that. And you're like, oh, you can do that. We're not doing that here though, bud.
Yeah, exactly. You just have everything like, people too. I've seen people even argue about isopropyl alcohol, about what's the fucking optimal percent, even though we all know it's 70. But I've seen people still like argue, you know, over everything. That's what gets scary about giving. Like, I sometimes thought about that too. Like, huh, this is a little trick I do. And I'm just scared to post it because I just feel like everybody will just be like, yeah, you fucking idiot. That's not the way. That's cool, man. That's cool if you want to fucking, you know, make your brewery come colliding down. Like,
yeah, 100, that always happens.
Yeah. It's too, like, I mean, you can see it in the comments in our memes. Like, you can see the diversity and like the belief system in the beer industry. There is none.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many breweries, so many techniques, so many different types of pumps and chemicals. And, you know, I don't think any place I've worked at has had the same exact thing going on. You know, it's always variation.
No, like how often do you passivate tanks? Everybody has a just different way of working. I mean, plus two, then on top of it, then you got the natural stuff you got to mix into there of like, oh, well, we have to do this different because our water is way more hard than yours. So this is why we do what we do with our HLT tanks and all this stuff like that. So it's like, you know, all kinds of, it's just nonstop. That's what's so cool though. At the same time is it's nonstop, nonstop learning in the industry, I guess. And
well, you said you worked at 7 breweries.
I think give or take, because I had an interesting career with like, it was just really hard to find one that could pay the bills in the beginning. And then on top of that, I took other opportunities because like I started in the beer industry. I started brewing simply because I really wanted to, but I wasn't allowed to brew at my first brewery unless I sold beer. So that's how I got sales experience. And then I was there, and then I wasn't, the next opportunity that came wasn't a brewing opportunity, but it was a good, you know, sales opportunity. And I talked my way into it. And so I did that. And then as well as like, but then after that, like just wanting to get out of it and get out of the drama and the politics. And then I'd go just back to production. And then after production, there's a part-time spot that opens up as a tap room spot, and I need the extra cash, so then I'm there too. So you know how that goes, right? Like
I think that brewing at multiple places is like the fast track to learning shit quickly. You know, like every brewery is going to be so different that you're going to just learn new shit. Like, you know, if you only work at one brewery, you think that's how it is, but that's just at that one place. You know, all the equipment's going to be different, the kettle's going to be different, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, in your experience, well, you know, well, now that you're going to be, you know, owning, you know, being part owner in a brewery, I just want to get your opinion. Would you rather hire someone who's really excited, but let's just say their only background is, you know, working in a tasting room, they've never brewed or done cellar work or anything? Would you rather be like, consider hiring someone like that that's enthusiastic, or would you rather hire like a jaded but really experienced guy? I mean, what's your preference?
I don't know. I think I would want to hire somebody who is just a like total head down hard worker who like doesn't complain a lot, like doesn't mind hard work basically, like doesn't get lazy. So if that person doesn't know shit and we have to train them, but that's their work ethic, then that's who I want. I don't want someone who thinks they've like arrived at brewing and they don't, you know, let the cellar person do something for them, or, you know, they don't have to do a lot. It's just, I just want people who get their hands in there and do it all. I think that is the most important. I mean, you can just see like, if you got this new guy on a keg washer or something and they're just busting ass, like you're like, this guy's going to go far. Like, you know, that some people just have that mentality, and that's what you need in a brewery, because so much goes wrong and you need, you know, people to kind of stretch themselves at times.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've seen them like grow into these amazing brewers, like guys that just didn't know shit, that almost kind of like, they just liked beer. They weren't like super, you know, they weren't even that like, you know, oh my gosh, but it's like their passion grew though, the more they learned and more there were, you know, more opportunities that came. But I have like one friend in particular. I mean, he went from just coming in overnights to just as a part-time gig to wash kegs. And he turned into like a GABF medal winning brewer, and also went to go to like work for like, you know, some of the biggest names.
I think it's just someone like that. It's just who they are. It's, you know, those are hard to find, and that's who you want to hire. It's hard to know who's going to be that way until you put them to work, and then you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, exactly. You might hire this like super, you know, experienced brewer, quote unquote, but what if they're just that person that always calls off or always has to, you know, just always has to make a problem about something, always gets offended, you know, all those kinds, there's all kinds of stuff. It just, I guess that's like the power of the interview process, right? Is like really filling people out if you can, like, if this is the one for you. And it's hard because that for sure will never give you the answer, because there's some really good bullshitters out there.
This one guy, his name is Rich. He's actually one of the co-founders or whatever of Grist and Glory. He did a working interview with us at Ninkasi, and I was cleaning the louder plates that day. And so we had to take them out, scrub them, put them back in. It was a huge pain in the ass. It was a 60 barrel brew house. And he was like, the whole time we were cleaning these plates, he was chatting and being funny. He's like having a good time, and we hired him, and he's such like he's an awesome worker. He's a total kick-ass brewer, and he's still there at Ninkasi, and that was a long time ago. And I'm like, working interviews, man, just see like how people adapt to that kind of shit, because it's not really, you know, easy to get along when on the interview when you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it's it also, yeah, it just shows character. It shows that he kept his cool. He wasn't all super anxious and weirded out by you people and stuff. And yeah, like I love the idea of working interviews too. Plus it's like good for them too. It's like, you know, like, or, you know, just, hey, make sure you like me, or make sure you like the way I do stuff.
Yeah. Or like, make sure you want to be doing this with your life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true too. Yeah. No, I mean, like, it was, it's really cool. I think I'm starting to see more of that out of leadership, as people looking for, like, more or less hard workers. Like, sure, maybe they were working at PepsiCo for 5 years, but like, hey, like, they've been at a job for 5 years and they've, you know, can I call your job and will they tell you, will they say good things about you and
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I think that stuff, yeah, it's definitely way more valuable than if you fucking know how to run a centrifuge.
Yeah, you get trained to do anything, you know.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Nowadays, it's just more about character and work ethic and stuff. And yeah, I mean, and by all means too. Like, I never ever want to come off sounding like some kind of douchebag. Like, I know everything. I don't. I'm far from it. Way far from it.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I just don't know enough. Like, I get so intimidated because I have such like badass brewer friends in San Diego. So I don't know if I'm going to say something and sound really stupid or have them go, you know what? That's a good idea. Like, and it's half and half. Sometimes I do say something and then someone's like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah. I'm never going to claim to be a super knowledgeable brewer. Like, I know what I know, and I know there's a ton more to learn. So it's just,
I was talking with, you know, one of the, hotshots over here, but he actually brought up something that you brought up in a meme once of like, how, as soon as someone asks you exactly how you do something, how you just dumb down and completely forget. And you're like, I don't know. I just do it.
Yeah.
That's like exactly how he felt. Like, it was like, and it was like, I felt like that too. And someone asked like, oh, so what do you do with that? And you have to really stop and think, wait a minute, what do I do with that? And you have to walk yourself through the process again to be able to explain it.
Yeah. I think I talked more confidently about beer when I was like a home brewer, like before I was a brewer. Like, I was like, oh yeah, you know, there's top fermenting yeast and bottom fermenting yeast. And like, you know, I thought I was so fucking smart.
And like, yeah.
And then I got in the industry. I'm like, I'm just going to shut up.
Oh, I've asked this before, but for fun, I've asked this to guests before, but can you remember the cringiest homebrew shit you've ever said?
I can't, but I got quoted in a few articles when I was fresh in the industry, and that makes me want to crawl into a cave and die.
Don't worry. I've been there. I like me first start, especially I learned from like a complete just nutcase. I think, yeah, my dumbest thing, the cringiest thing I can remember saying of like pretending I knew what I was talking about was, like, long story short, it was somebody that asked me about a beer that they knew was kettle soured, and I told them, no, it's not kettle soured. And in my mind, I didn't know what kettle sour was yet. So I just like went with like a dumb macho sense of like, nope, it's not kettle sour. Well, how do you sour? We have our own way.
Yeah.
I think it was something stupid like that. I was drunk and obnoxious trying to like prove that I knew something. It was really stupid. I mean, I guess that's the good thing, right? I think I read a quote or something on that. Like, if you look back and really cringe out on what you said at one time, that's a good sign that you've grown a lot. So I guess that's,
well, that's good. Yeah. I've done a lot of growing.
Yeah, exactly. I cringe out quite a bit. But yeah, no, anything exciting you wanted to talk about other than the, you know, you wanted to shout out before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mentioned Rich, and I did want to say that Chris Archer, Jesse Newhouse, and Tim Sanborn are the other dudes that started Grist and Glory with me. So they're probably going to listen and shout them out. I mean, cuss you guys. Or not anymore, two of them are.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and like, no, it's awesome. I love this community. I love that we can all openly joke and there's no, you know, just starting to back off the dramatic side of everything. And yeah, now it's just so cool talking to people like you that are, you know, we can all just openly say, like, you know, we're all kind of dumb.
Yeah. Antonio, I really like, I think it's so awesome that you started Wort Wrangler and like you know, got the ball rolling on us, you know, making fun of our lives and our jobs and being able to, you know, just kind of joke around more and, you know, appreciate it. And I don't know, I think it's a good community. You started a community too. That's the other thing. So that's good. Yes. You know, it's a place where we can all gather.
I mean, I'm really, really, really super stoked on it. Like, I don't, in no way, shape, or form, for everybody that's like, oh, look at him, he's in. No, I don't think more of myself. I just think it's cool. I just think it's cool what Wort Wrangler started, and it gets me amped. And I love meeting everybody. I love hanging out with people. It's really exciting, like being in a brewery and like taking a photo of like a beer, and then all of a sudden, like, somebody will walk out from the back, motherfucker, you're here, like,
yeah.
It's cool. Like, I really love it. I love all this shit, and I don't know, I like being a talkative idiot sometimes. And well, yeah, no, I mean, other than that, folks, remember to smile, do something nice for one another, all that happy shit. Dana, I really appreciate you hanging out. This is definitely not going to be the last one. We're going to be getting on. I feel like you, Untapped, and I would be a lot of fun. We should do that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Hell definitely, yeah. Less nervous now that we had a second round, so that was good.
Second round, yeah. I think we had the warm up round. Now we've had to kind of dive into stuff. We rambled on about social media and all that good stuff. I think I'm gonna make that happen. We'll get in, and then maybe we'll do like a beer trade. We'll all just like so we can be drinking like each other's stuff. That'd be fun.
That'd be super fun. Awesome. Well, it was really fun hanging out with you.
I appreciate it again, and we will talk to you, all you folks, next week.